staring at me, his cheek against the sheet.
You turned my world upside down. And I got a brand new beginning.
Like an apocalypse. I frowned. I still don't like it. He pushed off the bed, wrapping the sheet around his waist. It depends on how you look at it. No, not really, I said, watching him walk to the bathroom. I'll be out in 5. I stretched, letting all my limbs spread in every direction on the bed, and then I sat up, combing my hair out with my fingers. The toilet flushed, and then the faucet turned on. He wasn't kidding. He would be ready in a few minutes, and I was still naked in bed. Fitting my dress and his suit in the carry-on proved to be a challenge, but I finally made it work. Travis emerged from the bathroom and brushed his fingers across mine as we passed. Teeth brushed, hair combed. I changed, and we were checking out by 11. Travis took pictures of the lobby ceiling with his phone, and then we took one last look around before leaving for the long taxi line. Even in the shade, it was hot, and my legs were already sticking to my jeans. My phone buzzed in my purse. I checked it quickly.
Cops just left. Dad's at Tim's, but I told them you guys were in Vegas getting married. I think they fucking bought it.
Seriously?
Yeah.
I should get an Oscar for that shit. Just saying. I breathed a long sigh of relief.
Who's that?
Travis asked.
America,
I said, letting the phone slip back into my purse.
She's pissed.
He smiled.
I bet.
Where to?
The airport?
Travis asked, holding his hand out for mine. I took it, turning it enough so that I could see my nickname on his wrist.
No, I'm thinking we need to make a pit stop first.
One of his eyebrows pulled up.
To where?
You'll see. Chapter 10. Inked. Abby.
What do you mean? Travis said, blanching. We're not here for me?
The tattoo artist stared at us both, a little surprised at Travis's surprise. The entire taxi ride over, Travis assumed I was buying him a new tattoo as a wedding present. When I told the driver our destination, it never occurred to Travis that I would be the one getting inked. He talked about tattooing Abby somewhere on him, but since he already had Pigeon on his wrist, I thought it would be redundant.
It's my turn, I said, turning to the tattoo artist.
What's your name?
Griffin, he said in a monotone.
Of course, I said. I want Mrs. Maddox here. I touched my finger to my jeans on the right side of my lower abdomen, just low enough not to be seen, even in a bikini. I wanted Travis to be the only one privy to my ink, a nice surprise every time he undressed me. Travis beamed.
Mrs. Maddox?
Yes. In this font, I said, pointing to a laminated poster on the wall featuring sample tattoos. Travis smiled.
That fits you. It's elegant, but not fussy.
Exactly. Can you do that?
I can. It'll be about an hour. We have a couple people ahead of you. It'll be 250.
250? For a few scribbles?
Travis said, his mouth falling open. What the fuck, Chuck?
It's Griffin, he said, unaffected.
I know, but it's okay, baby, I said. Everything is more in Vegas.
Let's just wait until we get home, Pidge.
Pidge? Griffin said.
Travis sent him a death glare.
Shut up, he warned, looking back at me.
This'll be $200 cheaper back home.
If I wait, I won't do it. Griffin shrugged.
Then maybe you should wait.
I glared at Travis and Griffin. I'm not waiting. I'm doing this. I pulled out my wallet and shoved 3 bills at Griffin. So you take my money. I frowned at Travis. And you hush. It's my money, my body, and this is what I want to do.
Travis seemed to weigh what he was about to say.
But it's going to hurt,
he warned.
I smiled.
Me? or you?
Both. Griffin took my money and then disappeared. Travis paced the floor like a nervous, expectant father. He peeked down the hall, and then paced some more. It was as cute as it was annoying. At one point, he begged me not to do it, and then became impressed and touched that I was so hell-bent on going through with it.
Pull down your jeans, Griffin said, getting his equipment ready.
Travis shot a piercing look at the short, muscular man from under his brow, but Griffin was too busy to notice Travis's most frightening expression. I sat on the chair, and Griffin pushed buttons. As the chair reclined, Travis sat on a stool on the other side of me. He was fidgeting.
Trav, I said in a soft voice, sit down.
I held up my hand and he took it, also taking a seat. He kissed my fingers and offered a sweet but nervous smile. Just when I thought he couldn't take the waiting anymore, my cell phone buzzed in my purse.
Oh God, what if it was a text message from Trent?
Travis was already digging for it, grateful for the distraction.
Leave it, Trav.
He looked at the display and frowned. My breath caught. He held out the phone for me to take.
It's Mare. I grabbed it from him, and would have felt relief if it weren't for the cold cotton swab running over my hip bone.
Hello?
Abby, America said. Where are you? Shepley and I just got home. The car is gone.
Oh, I said, my voice an octave higher. I hadn't planned on telling her yet. I wasn't sure how to break the news, but I was sure she was going to hate me, at least for a little while.
We're in Vegas.
America laughed.
Shut up.
I'm totally serious. America grew quiet, and then her voice was so loud, I flinched.
Why are you in Vegas? It's not like you had a good time when you were there last.
Travis and I decided to... We kind of got married, Mare.
What? This isn't funny, Abby. You better be fucking joking.
Griffin placed the transfer onto my skin and pressed. Travis looked like he wanted to kill him for touching me.
You're silly, I said, but when the tattoo machine began to hum, my entire body tensed.
What's that noise? America said, steaming.
We're at the tattoo parlor.
Is Travis getting branded with your real name this time?
Not exactly.
Travis was sweating.
Baby, he said, frowning.
I can do this, I said, focusing on spots on the ceiling. I jumped when Griffin's fingertips touched my skin, but I tried not to tense.
Pigeon, Travis said, his voice tinged with desperation.
All right, I said, shaking my head dismissively. I'm ready. I held the phone away from my ear, wincing from both the pain and the inevitable lecture.
I'm going to kill you, Abby Abernathy, America cried. Kill you.
Technically, it's Abby Maddox now, I said, smiling at Travis.
It's not fair, she whined. I was supposed to be your maid of honor. I was supposed to go dress shopping with you and throw a bachelorette party and hold your bouquet.
I know, I said, watching Travis's smile fade as I winced again.
You don't have to do this, you know, he said, his eyebrow pulling together.
I squeezed his fingers.
I know. You said that already, America snapped.
I wasn't talking to you.
Oh, you're talking to me, she fumed. You are so talking to me. You are never going to hear the end of this, do you hear me? I will never, ever forgive you.
Yes, you will.
You're just plain mean, Abby. You're a horrible best friend.
I laughed, causing Griffin to pull back. He breathed through his nose.
I'm sorry, I said.
Who was that? America snapped.
That was Griffin, I answered matter-of-factly. Is she done? He asked Travis, annoyed.
Travis nodded once.
Keep it up.
Griffin just smiled and continued. My whole body tensed again.
Who the hell is Griffin? Let me guess, you invited a total stranger to your wedding and not your best friend?
I cringed, from both her shrill voice and the needle stabbing into my skin.
No, he didn't go to the wedding,
I said, sucking in a breath of air. Travis sighed, and shifted nervously in his chair, squeezing my hand. He looked miserable. I couldn't help but smile.
I'm supposed to be squeezing your hand, remember?
Sorry, he said, his voice thick with distress. I don't think I can take this. He opened his hand a bit and looked to Griffin.
Hurry up, would ya?
Griffin shook his head. Covered in tats, and can't take your girlfriend getting a simple script. I'll be finished in a minute, mate. Travis's expression turned severe.
Wife. She's my wife.
America gasped, the sound as high-pitched as her tone.
You're getting a tattoo? What is going on with you, Abby? Did you breathe toxic fumes in that fire?
Travis has my name on his wrist, I said, looking down at the smeared black mess on my stomach. Griffin pressed the tip of the needle against my skin, and I clenched my teeth together.
We're married, I said through my teeth. I wanted something too.
Travis shook his head.
You didn't have to.
I narrowed my eyes.
Don't start with me.
The corners of his mouth turned up, and he gazed at me with the sweetest adoration I'd ever seen. America laughed, sounding a bit insane.
You've gone crazy.
She should talk.
I'm committing you to the asylum when I get home.
It's not that crazy. We love each other. We have been practically living together on and off all year.
Okay, not quite all year. Not that it matters now.
Not enough to mention it and give America more ammunition.
Because you're 19, you idiot! Because you ran off and didn't tell anyone, and because I'm not there! She cried.
For 1 second, guilt and second thoughts crept in. For 1 second, I let the tiniest bit of panic that I just made a huge mistake simmer to the surface. But the moment I looked up at Travis and saw the incredible amount of love in his eyes, it all went away.
I'm sorry, Mayor. I have to go. I'll see you tomorrow, okay?
I don't know if I want to see you tomorrow. I don't think I want to see Travis ever again.
I'll see you tomorrow, Mayor. I know you want to see my ring.
And your tat, she said, a smile in her voice. I handed the phone to Travis. Griffin ran his 1,000 tiny knives of pain and anguish across my angry skin again. Travis shoved my phone in his pocket, gripping my hand with both of his, leaning down to touch his forehead to mine. Not knowing what to expect helped, but the pain was a slow burn. As Griffin filled in the thicker parts of the letters, I winced, and every time he pulled away to wipe the excess ink away with a cloth, I relaxed. After a few more complaints from Travis, Griffin made us jump with a loud proclamation.
Done!
Thank God, I said, letting my head fall back against the chair.
Thank God,
Travis cried, and then sighed in relief. He patted my hand, smiling. I looked down, admiring the beautiful black lines hiding under the smeared black mess.
Mrs. Maddox.
Wow, I said, rising up on my elbows. Travis's frown instantly turned into a triumphant smile.
It's beautiful.
Griffin shook his head.
If I had a dollar for every inked-up new husband who brought his wife in here and took it worse than she did, well, I wouldn't have to tat anyone ever again.
Travis's smile disappeared.
Just give her the post-care instructions, smartass.
I'll have a printout of instructions and some A&D ointment at the counter, Griffin said, amused by Travis. My stare kept returning to the elegant script on my skin.
We were married. I was a Maddox. Just like all of those wonderful men I had grown to love. I had a family, albeit full of angry, crazy, lovable men. But they were mine. I belonged to them, as they belonged to me.
Travis held out his hand, peering down at his ring finger.
We did it, baby. I still can't believe you're my wife.
Believe it. I beamed. I reached out to Travis, pointed to his pocket, and then turned my hand over, opening my palm. He handed me my phone, and I pulled up the camera to snap a picture of my fresh ink. Travis helped me from the chair, careful to avoid my right side. I was sensitive to every movement that caused my jeans to rub against my raw skin. After a short stop at the front counter, Travis let go of me long enough to push the door open for me. And then we walked outside to a waiting cab. My cell phone rang again. America.
She's going to lay on the guilt trip thick, isn't she? Travis said, watching me silence my phone. I wasn't in the mood to endure another tongue-lashing.
She'll pout for 24 hours after she sees the pictures. Then she'll get over it.
Are you sure about that, Mrs. Maddox?
I chuckled. Are you ever going to stop calling me that? You've said it 100 times since we left the chapel. He shook his head as he held the cab door open for me.
I'll quit calling you that when it sinks in that this is real.
Oh, it's real, all right. I have wedding night memories to prove it. I slid to the middle and then watched as he slid in next to me. He leaned against me, running his nose up the sensitive skin of my neck until he reached my ear.
We sure do.
Chapter 11. The Road Home. Travis. Abby watched Las Vegas pass by her window. Just the sight of her made me want to touch her, and now that she was my wife, that feeling was amplified. But I was trying very hard not to make her regret her decision. Playing it cool used to be my superpower. Now I was dangerously close to being Shepley. Unable to stop myself, I slid my hand over and barely touched her pinky finger. I saw pictures of my parents' wedding. I thought Mom was the most beautiful bride I'd ever see. Then I saw you at the chapel and I changed my mind. She looked down at our fingers touching, intertwined her fingers in mine, and then looked up at me. When you say things like that, Travis, it makes me fall in love with you all over again. She nuzzled up against me and then kissed my cheek. I wish I could have known her. Me too. I paused, wondering if I should say the thought that was in my head. What about your mom? Abby shook her head, leaning into my arms. She wasn't all that great before we moved to Wichita. After we got there, her depression got worse. She just checked out. If I hadn't met America, I would have been alone. She was already in my arms, but I wanted to hug my wife's 16-year-old self, too. And her childhood self, for that matter. There was so much that had happened to her that I couldn't protect her from. I know it's not true, but Mick told me so many times that I ruined him. Both of them. I have this irrational fear that I'll do the same to you.
Pigeon, I scolded, kissing her hair.
It's weird though, right, that when I started playing, his luck went south. He said I took his luck, like I had that power over him. It made for some seriously conflicting emotions for a teenage girl.
The hurt in her eyes caused a familiar fire to come over me, but I quickly doused the flames with a deep breath. I wasn't sure if seeing Abby hurt would ever make me feel anything less than a little crazy, but she didn't need a hot-headed boyfriend. She needed an understanding husband. If he had any fucking sense, he would have made you his lucky charm instead of his enemy. It really is his loss, Pidge. You're the most amazing woman I know. She picked at her nails. He didn't want me to be his luck.
You could be my luck. I'm feeling pretty fucking lucky right now. She playfully elbowed me in the ribs. Let's just keep it that way. I have not a single doubt that we will. You don't know it yet, but you just saved me. Something sparked in Abby's eyes, and she pressed her cheek against my shoulder. I hope so.
Abby. Travis hugged me to his side, letting go just long enough for us to move forward. We weren't the only overly affectionate couple waiting in line at the check-in counter. It was the end of spring break, and the airport was packed. Once we got our boarding passes, we made our way slowly through security. When we finally reached the front of the line, Travis kept setting off the detector, so the TSA agent made him take off his ring. Travis grudgingly complied, but once we passed through security and sat on a nearby bench to put on our shoes, Travis grumbled a few inaudible swear words and then relaxed.
It's okay, baby. It's back on your finger,
I said, giggling at his overreaction. Travis didn't speak, only kissed my forehead before we left security for our gate. The other spring breakers appeared just as exhausted and happy as we were. And I spotted other arriving couples, holding hands, who looked just as nervous and excited as Travis and I were when we arrived in Vegas. I grazed Travis's fingertips with mine. He sighed. His response caught me off guard. It was heavy and full of stress. The closer we got to the gate, the slower he walked. I worried about the reaction we'd face at home, too. But I was more worried about the investigation. Maybe he was thinking the same thing and didn't want to talk to me about it. At gate 11, Travis sat next to me, keeping his hand in mine. His knee was bouncing, and he kept touching and tugging at his lips with his free hand. His three-day scruff twitched every time he moved his mouth. He was either freaking out on the inside, or he'd drunk a pot of coffee without me knowing. "Pigeon," he said finally. Oh, thank God, he's going to talk to me about it. "Yeah?" He thought about what he might say, and then sighed again. "Nothing." Whatever it was, I wanted to fix it, but if he wasn't thinking about the investigation or facing the aftermath of the fire, I didn't want to bring it up. Not long after we took our seat, first class was being called to board. Travis and I stood with everyone else to get in line for economy. Travis shifted from one foot to the other, rubbing the back of his neck and squeezing my hand. He so obviously wanted to tell me something. It was eating at him, and I didn't know what else to do but squeeze his hand back. When our boarding group began to form a line, Travis hesitated. "I can't shake this feeling," he said. "What do you mean? Like a bad feeling?" I said, suddenly very nervous. I didn't know if he meant the plane, or Vegas, or going home. Everything that could go wrong between our next step and our arrival back on campus flashed through my mind. "I have this crazy feeling that once we get home, I'm going to wake up, like none of this was real." Concern shone in his eyes, making them glassy. Of all the things to worry about, and he was worried about losing me, just as I worried about losing him. It was then, in that moment, that I knew we'd done the right thing. That yes, we were young, and yes, we were crazy, but we were as much in love as anyone. We were older than Romeo and Juliet, older than my grandparents. It might not have been that long ago since we were children, but there were people with 10 or more years of experience who still didn't have it together. We didn't have it all together, but we had each other, and that was more than enough. When we returned, it was likely that everyone would be waiting for the breakdown, waiting for the deterioration of a couple married too young. Just imagining the stares and stories and whispers made my skin crawl. It might take a lifetime to prove to everyone that this works. We'd made so many mistakes, and undoubtedly, we would make thousands more. But the odds were in our favor. We'd proven them all wrong before. After a tennis match of worries and reassurances, I finally wrapped my arms around my husband's neck, touching my lips ever so slightly to his. I'd bet my firstborn. That's how sure I am. This was a wager I wouldn't lose. "You can't be that sure," he said. I raised an eyebrow, my mouth pulling to the side. "Wanna bet?" Travis relaxed, taking his boarding pass from my fingers and handing it to the attendant. "Thank you," she said, scanning it and then handing it back. She did the same to mine, and just as we had little more than 24 hours before, we walked hand in hand down the jetway. "Are you hinting at something?" Travis asked. He stopped. "You're not. Is that why you wanted to get married?" I laughed, shook my head, and pulled him along. "God, no. I think we've taken a big enough step to last us a while." He nodded once. "Fair enough, Mrs. Maddox." He squeezed my hand, and we boarded the plane for home. Chapter 12. Anniversary. Abby. Water beaded on my skin, mixing with the sunscreen and magnifying the texture of my tanned stomach. The sun beat down on us, and everyone else on the beach, making the heat dance in waves on top of the sand, between the patches of brightly colored beach towels.
"Ma'am," the waiter said, leaning down with two drinks. Sweat dripped off his dark skin, but he was smiling.
"Charging to the room?"
"Yes, thank you," I said, taking my frozen strawberry margarita and signing the check.
America took hers and stirred the ice with her tiny straw.
"This is heaven."
We all deserved a little heaven to recover from the last year. After attending dozens of funerals and helping Travis deal with his guilt, we fielded more questions from investigators. The students who were at the fight kept Travis's name out of it when speaking with the authorities, but rumors spread, and it took a long time for Adam's arrest to be enough for the families. It took a lot of convincing for Travis not to turn himself in. The only thing that seemed to hold him back was my begging for him not to leave me alone, and knowing Trent would be charged with misleading an investigation. The first 6 months of our marriage was far from easy, and we spent a lot of long nights arguing about what was the right thing to do. Maybe it was wrong for me to keep Travis from prison, but I didn't care. I didn't believe he was any more at fault than anyone who had chosen to be in that basement that night. I would never regret my decision, just like I would never regret looking straight into that detective's eyes and lying my ass off to save my husband.
"Yes," I said, watching the water climb up the sand and then recede.
"We have Travis to thank. He was at the gym with as many clients as he could fit around his classes 6 days a week from 5 in the morning to 10 o'clock at night. This was all him. It sure wasn't my tutoring money that got us here. Thank him? When he promised me a real wedding, and I didn't know he meant a year later."
"America," I scolded, turning to her. "Could you be more spoiled? We're on a beach, drinking frozen margaritas in St. Thomas."
"I guess it gave me some time to plan your bachelorette party, and the renewal of your vows," she said, taking a sip.
I smiled, turning to her.
"Thank you. I mean it. And this is the best bachelorette party in the history of bachelorette parties."
Harmony walked over and sat down in the lounge chair on the other side of me. Her pixie short chestnut hair glistened in the sun. She shook the salt water out of it, making it feather out.
"The water is so warm," she said, pushing up her oversized sunglasses. "There is a guy over there teaching kids how to windsurf. He's stupid hot."
"Maybe you can talk him into being our stripper later," America said, straight-faced.
Kara frowned.
"America, no. Travis would be livid. Abby isn't actually a bachelorette, remember?"
America shrugged, letting her eyes close behind her sunglasses. Although Kara and I had grown very close since I moved out, she and America still weren't on the best of terms, probably because both of them said exactly what they thought.
"We'll blame it on Harmony," America said. "Travis can't get mad at her. He's forever indebted to her for letting him into Morgan Hall that night you were fighting."
"Doesn't mean I want to be on the wrong end of a Maddox rage," Harmony said, shuddering.
I scoffed. "You know he hasn't lashed out in a long time. He's got a handle on his anger now."
Harmony and I shared two classes that semester, and when I invited her to the apartment to study, Travis recognized her as the girl who'd let him into our dorm. Like Travis, her brother was also a member of Sigma Tau fraternity, so she was one of the few pretty girls on campus that Travis hadn't slept with.
"Travis and Shepley will be here tomorrow afternoon," America said. "We have to get our partying in tonight. You don't think Travis is sitting at home doing nothing, do you? We're going out, and we're going to have a damn good time whether you like it or not."
"That's fine," I said. "Just no strippers. And not too late. This wedding will actually have an audience. I don't want to look hungover."
Harmony lifted the flag next to her chair, and almost immediately a waiter came over.
"How may I help you, miss?"
"A pina colada, please."
"Of course," he said, backing away.
"This place is swank," America said.
"And you wonder why it took us a year to save up for this."
"You're right. I shouldn't have said anything. Trav wanted you to have the best. I get it. And it was nice of Mom and Dad to pay my way.
I sure as hell wouldn't have been able to come otherwise. I giggled.
You promised me I could be a bridesmaid and do everything you made me miss last year. I see them paying as a wedding present and an anniversary present to you, and a birthday present to me, all rolled into one. If you ask me, they got off cheap.
It's still too much.
Abby, they love you like a daughter. Daddy is very excited about walking you down the aisle. Let them do this without ruining the spirit of it, America said.
I smiled. Mark and Pam treated me like family. After my father landed me in a dangerous situation last year, Mark decided that I needed a new father and nominated himself. If I needed help with tuition or books or a new vacuum cleaner, Mark and Pam showed up at my door. Helping me also gave them an excuse to visit America and me, and it was obvious that they enjoyed that the most. Not only did I now have the unruly Maddox clan as family, but I had Mark and Pam as well. I'd gone from belonging to no one to being a part of two amazing families that were incredibly important to me. At first, it made me feel anxious. I'd never had so much to lose before. But over time, I realized that my new family wasn't going anywhere, and I learned how much good could come from misfortune.
Sorry, I'll just try to accept this graciously.
Thank you.
Thank you, Harmony said, taking her drink from the tray. She signed the bill and began sipping the fruity concoction.
I'm just so excited to be going to this one.
Me too, America said, glaring in my direction. She had barely forgiven me for getting married without her, and honestly, I hoped she'd never try to pull the same move on me. But marriage was still a long way off for her. She and Shepley were going to get their own apartment, but both decided that even though they were always around each other, America would stay in Morgan, and Shepley would move into Helms, a men's dorm. Mark and Pam were happier about this arrangement. They loved Shepley, but were worried that the stress of real-world bills and jobs would affect Shepley's and America's focus on school. America was struggling, even at the dorms.
I just hope it goes smoothly. I hate the thought of standing in front of all those people staring at us.
America breathed out a laugh.
Elvis wasn't invited, but I'm sure it will still be beautiful.
I still can't believe Elvis was at your wedding, Harmony said, giggling.
Not the dead one, Kara deadpanned.
He wasn't invited this time, I said, watching the children taking lessons celebrate windsurfing on their own.
What was it like, getting married in Vegas? Harmony asked.
It was, I said, thinking about the moment we left, almost exactly a year earlier.
Stressful and frightening.
I was worried. I cried.
It was pretty much perfect.
Harmony's expression was one of combined disgust and surprise.
Sounds like it.
Travis. Fuck you, I said, not amused.
Oh, come on, Shepley said, shaking with laughter. You used to say I was the whipped one.
Fuck you again. Shepley turned off the ignition. He had parked the charger on the far side of Cherry Papa's parking lot, home of the fattest, dirtiest strippers in town. It's not like you're going to take one of them home. I promised Pidge no strippers. I promised you a bachelor party. Dude, let's just go home. I'm full, tired, and we've got a plane to catch in the morning. Shepley frowned. The girls have been lying on a beach in St. Thomas all day, and now they're probably partying it up in a club. I shook my head. We don't go to clubs without each other. She wouldn't do that. She would if America planned it. I shook my head again. No, she fucking wouldn't. I'm not going into the strip club. Either pick something else or take me home. Shepley sighed and squinted his eyes. What about that? I followed his line of sight to the next block over. A hotel? Shep, I love you, man, but it's not a real bachelor party. I'm married, and even if I weren't, I still wouldn't have sex with you. Shepley shook his head. There's a bar in there. It's not a club. Is that permitted on your long list of marriage rules? I frowned. I just respect my wife, and yes, douchebag, we can go in there. Awesome, he said, rubbing his hands together. We walked across the street and Shepley opened the door. It was pitch black. I began. Suddenly the lights turned on. The twins, Taylor and Tyler, threw confetti in my face. Music began to blare, and then I saw the worst thing I'd ever seen in my life. Trenton in a man thong, covered in about 10 pounds of body glitter. He had on a cheap yellow wig, and Cammy was laughing her head off, cheering him on. Shepley pushed me in the rest of the way. My dad was on one side of the room, standing next to Thomas. They were both shaking their heads. My Uncle Jack was on the other side of Thomas, and then the rest of the room was filled with Sigma Tau brothers and football players. I said no strippers, I said, watching dumbfounded as Trenton danced around the room to Britney Spears. Shepley burst into laughter. I know, brother, but looks like the stripping happened before we got here. It was a train wreck. My face screwed into disgust as I watched Trenton bump and grind his way across the room, even though I didn't want to. Everyone in the room was cheering him on. Cardboard cutouts of tits were hanging from the ceiling, and there was even a booby cake on a table next to my dad. I'd been to several bachelor parties before, and this one had to win some sort of a freak prize. Hey, Trenton said, breathless and sweaty. He pulled a few yellow strands of fake hair from his face. Did you lose a bet? I asked. As a matter of fact, I did. Taylor and Tyler were across the room, slapping their knees and laughing so hard they could barely breathe. I slapped Trenton's ass. You look hot, bro. Thanks, he said. The music started and he shook his hips at me. I pushed him away and, undeterred, he danced across the room to entertain the crowd. I looked at Shepley. I can't wait to watch you explain this to Abby. He smiled. She's your wife, you do it. For the next 4 hours, we drank and talked and watched Trenton make a complete ass out of himself. My dad, as expected, cut out early. He, along with my other brothers, had a plane to catch. We were all flying to St. Thomas in the morning for the renewal of my vows. For the last year, Abby tutored, and I did some personal training at the local gym. We'd managed to save a little after school costs, rent, and the car payment to fly to St. Thomas and stay a few days in a nice hotel. We had plenty of things the money could have gone to, but America kept talking about it and wouldn't let us drop the idea. Then when America's parents presented us with the wedding gift / America's birthday present / anniversary gift, we tried to say no, but America was insistent. All right, boys, I'm going to be hurting in the morning if I don't call it a night. Everyone groaned and taunted me with words like whipped and pussy, but the truth was they were all used to the new, tamer Travis Maddox. I hadn't put my fist to someone's face in almost a year. I yawned and Shepley punched me in the shoulder. Let's go. We drove in silence. I wasn't sure what Shepley was thinking about, but I couldn't fucking wait to see my wife. She'd left the day before, and that was the first time we'd been apart since we'd been married. Shepley pulled up to the apartment and shut off the car. Front door service, loser. Admit it, you miss it. The apartment? Yeah, a little, but I miss you fighting and us making shit tons of money more. Yeah, I do sometimes too. See you in the morning. Pick you up right back here at 6:30. Later. Shepley drove away while I slowly climbed the steps, searching for the apartment key. I hated coming home when Abby wasn't there. There was nothing worse after we met, and it was the same now. Maybe even more miserable because Shepley and America weren't even there to annoy me. I pushed in the key and opened the door, locking it behind me and tossing my wallet onto the breakfast bar. I had already taken Toto to the pet hotel to be boarded while we were gone. It was too fucking quiet. I sighed. The apartment had changed a lot in the last year. The posters and bar signs had come down, and pictures of us and paintings went up. It was no longer a bachelor pad, but it was a good trade. I went into my bedroom, stripped down to my Calvin Klein boxer briefs, and climbed into the bed. burying myself under the blue and green floral comforter. Something else that would have never seen the inside of this apartment had Abby not had a hand in it. I pulled her pillow over and rested my head on it. It smelled like her. The clock read 2 a.m. I would be with her in 12 hours.
Chapter 13. Scratch that. 14. Bachelorette. Abby. Those seated on the far edge of the restaurant began to scream, nearly pushing over tables and children to get away. Wine glasses broke and silverware clanged on the floor. A pineapple-shaped hurricane was knocked over, rolled off a table, and broke. America rolled her eyes at the 20 or so people gathered a few tables over.
Christ on the cross, people! It's just a little rain!
The waitstaff and hostesses scrambled to release the rolled-up walls of the outdoor restaurant.
And you were grumbling because we didn't have an ocean view, Harmony teased.
Yeah, those snobby bitches aren't smirking now, are they? America said, nodded and smiling to the six-pack of blondes now huddling and wet.
Knock it off, Mayor. You've had one too many glasses of wine, I said.
I'm on vacation, and it's a bachelorette party. I'm supposed to be drunk.
I patted her hand.
That would be fine if you weren't a mean drunk.
Fuck you, whore. I am not a mean drunk.
I glared at her, and she winked at me and smiled.
Just kidding.
Harmony let her fork fall to her plate.
I'm stuffed. Now what?
America pulled a small three-ring binder from her purse with a devious grin. It had small foam letters glued to the front that read, Travis and Abby, and our wedding date.
Now, we play a game.
What kind of game? I asked, wary. She opened the binder.
Since Cammy couldn't be here until tomorrow, she made you this, she said, turning the front over to read the words painted on the front.
The What Would Your Husband Say game. I've heard about it. Super fun, although typically it's about your future husband, she said, shifting excitedly in her seat.
So, Cammy asked Travis these questions last week and sent the book with me.
What? I shrieked. What kind of questions?
You're getting ready to find out, she said, waving the waiter over. He brought a full tray of brightly colored jello shots.
Oh my, I said.
If you get them wrong, you drink. If you get them right, we drink. Ready?
Sure, I said, glancing at Kara and Harmony. America cleared her throat, holding the binder in front of her.
When did Travis know you were the one?
I thought for a minute. That first poker night at his dad's. America made a horrendous noise with her throat.
When he realized he wasn't good enough for you, which was the moment he saw you. Drink.
Aw,
Harmony said, holding her hand to her chest. I picked up a small plastic cup and squeezed its contents into my mouth.
Yum.
I wasn't going to mind losing at all.
Next question, America said. What is his favorite thing about you?
My cooking.
America made the noise again.
Drink.
You suck at this game, Kara said, clearly amused.
Maybe I'm doing it on purpose. These are good, I said, popping another shot into my mouth.
Travis's answer? Your laugh.
Wow, I said, surprised. That's kind of endearing.
What is his favorite part of your body?
My eyes.
Ding, ding, ding!
Correct. Harmony and Kara clapped. I bowed my head.
Thank you. Thank you. Now drink, bitches.
They all laughed and popped their shots. America turned a page and read the next question.
When does Travis want to have kids?
Oh, I blew through my lips.
In 7, 8 years?
A year after graduation.
Kara and Harmony made the same face, their mouths forming.
Oh.
I'll drink, I said. But he and I will have to talk about that one some more. America shook her head.
This is a pre-wedding game, Abby. You should be much better at this.
Shut up. Continue. Kara pointed.
Technically, she can't shut up and continue.
Shut up, America and I said in unison. Next question, America said.
What do you think Travis's favorite moment of your relationship was?
The night he won the bet and I moved in? Correct again, America said.
This is so sweet, I can't take it, Harmony said.
Drink. Next question, I said, smiling.
What is one thing Travis said he'll never forget that you've said to him?
Wow, I have no idea. Kara leaned in.
Just guess.
The first time I said I loved him?
America narrowed her eyes, thinking.
Technically, you're wrong. He said it was the time you told Parker you loved Travis.
America burst into laughter, and so did the rest of us.
Drink!
America turned another page.
What is the one item Travis can't live without?
His motorcycle.
Correct.
Where was your first date?
Technically, it was the pizza shack.
Correct, America said again.
Ask her something more difficult, or we're going to get hammered, Kara said, throwing back another shot.
America said, thumbing through the pages.
Oh, here we go.
What do you think Abby's favorite thing about you is?
What kind of question is that? I asked.
They watched me expectantly.
My favorite thing about him is the way he always touches me when we sit together. But I bet he said his tats.
Damn it, America said.
Correct.
They drank, and I clapped to celebrate my small victory.
One more, America said. What does Travis think your favorite present from him is?
I paused for a few seconds.
That's easy. The scrapbook he got me for Valentine's Day this year.
Now drink.
Everyone laughed, and even though it was their turn, I shared the last shot with them.
Harmony wiped her mouth with a napkin and helped me to collect the empty cups and place them on the tray.
What's the plan now, Mayor?
America fidgeted, clearly excited about what she was about to say.
We hit the clubs, that's what.
I shook my head.
No way, we talked about this.
America stuck out her lip.
Don't, I said. I'm here to renew my vows, not to get a divorce. Think of something else.
Why doesn't he trust you? America said, her voice very closely resembling a whine.
If I really wanted to go, I would go. I just respect my husband, and I would rather get along than sit in a smoky club with lights that give me a headache. It would just make him wonder what went on, and I'd rather not go there. It's worked so far.
I respect Shepley. I still go to clubs without him.
No, you don't.
Only because I haven't wanted to, yet.
Tonight, I do.
Well, I don't.
America's brows pulled together.
Fine. Plan B. Poker night?
Very funny.
Harmony's face lit up.
I saw a flyer for movie night tonight at Honeymoon Beach. They bring a screen right on the water.
America made a face.
Boring.
No. I think it sounds fun. When does it start?
Harmony checked her watch, and then her face fell, deflated.
In 15 minutes.
We can make it, I said, grabbing my purse.
Check, please.
Travis. Calm your tits, dude, Shepley said. He looked down at my fingers nervously beating against the metal armrest. We had landed safely and taxied in. But for whatever reason, they weren't ready to let us off yet. Everyone was quietly waiting for that one tiny ding that meant freedom. Something about the ding of the fastened seatbelt light that made everyone jump up and scramble to get their carry-on luggage and stand in line. I actually had a reason to be in a hurry, though, so the wait was particularly irritating. What the fuck is taking so long? I said, maybe a little too loud. A woman in front of us with a grade school age kid turned slowly to give me a look. Sorry. She faced forward in a huff. I looked down at my watch. We're going to be late.
No, we're not, Shepley said in his typical smooth and calming voice. We've still got plenty of time.
I stretched to the side, looking down the aisle, as if that would help. The flight attendants haven't moved. Wait, One is on the phone. That's a good sign. I sat upright and sighed. We're gonna be late. No, we're not. You just miss her. I do, I said. I knew that I looked pitiful, and I wasn't even going to attempt to hide it. This was the first time Abby and I had spent a night apart since before we were married, and it was miserable. Even after a year, I still looked forward to when she'd wake up in the morning. I even missed her when I slept. Shepley shook his head in disapproval. Remember when you used to give me so much shit for acting like this? You didn't love them the way I love her. Shepley smiled. You really happy, man? As much as I loved her back then, I love her even more now. Like the way Dad used to talk about Mom. Shepley smiled and then opened his mouth to respond, but the fastened seatbelt light dinged, sending everyone into a flurry of standing up, reaching up, and getting situated in the aisle. The mother in front of me smiled. Congratulations, she said. Sounds like you have it figured out more than most people. The line began to move. Not really, we just had a lot of hard lessons early on. Lucky you, she said, guiding her son down the aisle. I laughed once, thinking about all the fuck-ups and letdowns, but she was right. If I had to do it all over again, I'd rather endure the pain in the beginning than have had it easy and then have it all go to shit later on. Shepley and I rushed to baggage claim, got our luggage, and then hurried outside to catch a cab. I was surprised to see a man in a black suit holding a dry erase board with Maddox Party scribbled in red marker. Hey, I said.
Mr. Maddox, he said, smiling wide. That's us. I'm Mr. Gums. Right this way.
He took my larger bag and led us outside to a black Cadillac Escalade.
You staying at the Ritz-Carlton, yeah?
Yes, Shepley said. We loaded the trunk with the rest of the bags and then sat in the middle row of seats.
Score,
Shepley said, looking around. The driver took off, buzzing up and down hills and around curves, all on the wrong side of the road. It was confusing because the wheel was on the same side as ours. Glad we didn't rent a car, I said.
Yes, the majority of accidents here are caused by tourists.
I bet, Shepley said.
It's not hard. Just remember you are closest to the curb, he said, karate chopping the air with his left hand.
He continued giving us a mini tour, pointing out different things along the way. The palm trees made me feel enough out of our element, but the cars parked on the left side of the road were really messing with my head. Large hills seemed to touch the sky, peppered with little white specks, what I assumed were hillside houses.
That's Havenside Mall there, Mr. Gums said, where all the cruise ships dock, see?
I saw the big ships, but I couldn't stop staring at the water. I'd never seen water such a pure blue before. I guess that's why they call it Caribbean blue. It was fucking unbelievable. How close are we?
Getting there,
Mr. Gums said with a happy grin. Right on cue, the Cadillac slowed to a stop to wait for oncoming traffic, and then we pulled into a long drive. He slowed once more for a security booth. We were waved in, and then we continued on another long drive to the entrance of the hotel.
Thanks,
Shepley said. He tipped the driver and then pulled out his cell phone, quickly tapping on the screen. His phone made a kiss noise. Must have been America. He read the message and then nodded.
Looks like you and I go to Mayor's room and they're getting ready in yours.
I made a face.
That's odd.
I guess they don't want you to see Abby yet. I shook my head and smiled. She was that way last time. A hotel employee showed us to a golf cart, and then he drove us to our building. We followed him to the correct room, and then we walked inside. It was very tropical, fancy Ritz-Carlton tropical.
This'll do, Shepley said, all smiles.
I frowned. The ceremony is in 2 hours. I have to wait 2 hours? Shepley held up a finger, tapped on his phone, and then looked up.
Nope. You can see her when she's ready, per Abby. Apparently she misses you, too.
A wide grin spread across my face. I couldn't help it. Abby had that effect on me. 18 months ago, a year ago, now, and for the rest of my life. I pulled out my cell phone. Love you, baby.
Oh my God, you're here.
Love you too. See you soon. You bet your ass. I laughed out loud. I'd said before that Abby was my everything. For the last 365 days straight, she'd proved that to be true. Someone pounded on the door, and I walked over to open it. Trent's face lit up. Asshat. I laughed once, shook my head, and motioned for my brothers to come in. Get in here, you fucking heathens. I've got a wife waiting and a tux with my name on it. Chapter 15. Happily Ever After. Travis. A year to the day after I stood at the end of an aisle in Vegas, I found myself waiting for Abby again, this time in a gazebo overlooking the rich blue waters surrounding St. Thomas. I pulled at my bow tie, pleased that I had been smart enough not to wear one last time, but I also didn't have to deal with America's vision last time. White chairs with orange and purple ribbons tied around their backs sat empty on one side. The ocean sat on the other. White fabric lined the aisle Abby would walk down, and orange and purple flowers were pretty much everywhere I looked. They did a nice job. I still preferred our first wedding, but this looked more like what any girl would dream of. And then what any boy would dream of stepped out from behind a row of trees and bushes. Abby stood alone, empty-handed, a long white veil streaming from her half-up, half-down hair, blowing in the warm Caribbean breeze. Her long white dress was form-fitting and a little shiny, probably satin. I wasn't sure and I didn't care. All I could focus on was her. I jumped the four steps that led up to the gazebo and jogged to my wife, meeting her at the back row of chairs. Oh my God, I've missed you like hell, I said, wrapping her in my arms. Abby's fingers pressed into my back. It was the best thing I'd felt in 3 days, since I'd hugged her goodbye. Abby didn't speak, she just giggled nervously, but I could tell she was happy to see me too. The last year had been so different from the first 6 months of our relationship. She had totally committed to me, and I had totally committed to being the man she deserved. It was better, and life was good. The first 6 months I kept waiting for something bad to happen that would rip her away from me, but after that we settled into our new life. You are amazingly beautiful, I said after pulling back to get a better look. Abby reached to touch my lapel. You're not so bad yourself, Mr. Maddox. After a few kisses, hugs, and stories about our bachelor/bachelorette parties, which seemed to be equally uneventful except for the whole Trent stripper thing, the guests began to trickle in. Guess that means we should get in our places, Abby said. I couldn't hide my disappointment. I didn't want to be without her for another second. Abby touched my jaw and then rose up on her feet to kiss my cheek. See you in a bit. She walked off, disappearing behind the trees again. I returned to the gazebo, and before long the chairs were all filled. We actually had an audience this time. Pam sat on the bride's side in the first row with her sister and brother-in-law. A handful of my Sigma Tau brothers lined the back row with my dad's old partner and his wife and kids, my boss Chuck and his girlfriend of the week, both sets of America's grandparents, and my Uncle Jack and Aunt Dina. My dad sat in the first row of the groom's side, keeping my brother's dates company. Shepley stood as my best man, and my groomsmen, Thomas, Taylor, Tyler, and Trent, stood next to him. We'd all seen another year pass. We'd all been through so much, in some cases lost so much, and yet come together as a family to celebrate something that had gone right for the Maddoxes. I smiled and nodded at the men standing with me. They were still the impenetrable fortress I remembered from my childhood. My eyes focused on trees in the distance as I waited for my wife. Any second now she would step out and everyone could see what I saw a year before and find themselves in awe, just like I was.
Abby. After a long embrace, Mark smiled down at me. You are beautiful,
I'm so proud of you, sweetheart.
Thank you for giving me away, I said, a little embarrassed. Thinking about everything he and Pam had done for me made hot tears pool in my eyes. I blinked them away before they had a chance to spill down my cheeks. Mark pecked my forehead. We're blessed to have you in our lives, kiddo. The music began, prompting Mark to offer his arm. I took it, and we walked down a small, uneven sidewalk that was lined with thick, flowering trees. America was worried it would rain, but the sky was nearly clear, and sun was pouring down. Mark guided me to the end of the trees, and then we rounded the corner, standing just behind Kara, Harmony, Cammy, and America. All of them but America were dressed in purple, strapless satin mini dresses. My best friend wore orange. They were all absolutely beautiful. Kara offered me a small smile. I guess the beautiful disaster turned into a beautiful wedding. Miracles do happen, I said, remembering the conversation she and I had, what seemed like a lifetime ago. Kara laughed once, nodded, and then gripped her small bouquet in both hands. She rounded the corner, disappearing behind the trees. Soon after, Harmony and then Cammy followed. America turned, hooking her arm around my neck. I love you, she said with a squeeze. Mark tightened his grip, and I did the same with my bouquet. Here we go, kiddo. We rounded the corner, and the pastor motioned for everyone to stand. I saw the faces of my friends and new family, but it wasn't until I saw the wet cheeks of Jim Maddox that my breath caught. I struggled to keep it together. Travis reached out for me. Mark held his hands over ours. I felt so safe in that moment, held by two of the best men I knew.
Who gives this woman away? The pastor asked. Her mother and I. The words stunned me.
Mark had been practicing Pam and I all week. After hearing that, there was no holding back my tears as they welled up and spilled over. Mark kissed my cheek, walked away, and I stood there, with my husband. It was the first time I'd seen him in a tux. He was clean-shaven, and had recently gotten his hair cut. Travis Maddox was the kind of gorgeous every girl dreamed about, and he was my reality. Travis tenderly wiped my cheeks, and then we stepped onto the platform of the gazebo, directly in front of the pastor.
We are gathered here today to celebrate a renewal of vows, the pastor began.
His voice melted into the sounds of the ocean, breaking against the rocks in the background. Travis leaned in, squeezing my hand as he whispered,
Happy anniversary, Pidge.
I looked into his eyes, as full of love and hope as they were the year before.
One down, forever to go, I whispered back.
A Beautiful Wedding was written by Jamie McGuire and read by Emma Galvin and Zachary Weber. It was recorded at the Media Staff in Los Angeles, California, and Kessler Media Productions in Katona, New York. Editing and post-production by Kessler Media Productions. The mix and mastering engineer was Alex Reisdorf. The associate producer was Joanna Solitaroff. A Beautiful Wedding was produced and directed by Robert Kessler. This has been a presentation of Simon & Schuster Audio. A Beautiful Wedding is available in hardcover from Atria Books. Also from Simon & Schuster Audio by Jamie McGuire, Walking Disaster, read by Dan Bittner, and Beautiful Disaster, read by Emma Galvin.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.